For the lives of our young people, Lord. And now, Father, I pray for us older folks, Lord. We need you more. We need your grace and we need your mercy, Lord. We ask that we will be examples, Lord, unto these young people, that we will build them up, edify them, Lord, in the things of you. That it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's put our hands together, give God some praise. Our young people, if they're going back, those that are going back, you're dismissed at this time. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be before you long, but please turn with me to the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 21. St. Matthew chapter 21. Hallelujah. Amen. The gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 21. When you get there, please say amen. And we're going to begin at verse 1. And I'm going to read, and again, it's my desire. I won't be before you long. We got three or four things that the Lord wants to say to us concerning this hour and this time that we're in. As it has already been said, that today is Palm Sunday. Everybody understand Palm Sunday? Amen. You see these little palm leaves? I remember back in the day when we went to church, we had our little palm leaf. Before we left, we had our little palm leaf going on. I had no idea what it meant, but I had one. Amen. And I was waving. I was waving my palm leaf. Amen. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. They'll get a Bible to you. But I knew I had that. Well, Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. And Palm Sunday is 7 days before what we call Resurrection Sunday, or what the world calls Easter. Amen. And Palm Sunday represents the final entry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. It was his final entry into Jerusalem before he would give of his life, that he would die and be buried and he would rise again. Amen. And so the week, again, this day, Palm Sunday, begins Holy Week. And so for the next 7 days, this is a very special time. And I would admonish each of you during this week to open up your Bibles. You can go to either one of the four Gospels. All of them have this account here. I mean, it was so important that God inspired and breathed upon the writers of the Gospel, all of them, to have this account in the Bible. So we're going to deal with the front end of it. And, of course, we're going to deal with the resurrection on next Sunday. As has already been said, I would ask you to invite someone out. Invite a family member, a friend, someone to church on next Sunday. And for more than that, every Sunday, amen, invite someone out. Because, you know, I've come to the conclusion that what the world needs, they need the Lord. Amen. They need the Lord. If you look with me, please, to Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "And when he drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were to come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto him, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." You see, Jesus, he's headed in. And he's telling them to go get me a donkey, because he's going to ride in on that donkey. Amen. I'll tell you. Amen. Look, verse 3, it says, "And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord have need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey and a goat, in a colt, the foal of an ass or a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Verse 7, "And brought the donkey and the colt and put them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And then he goes into the temple. We're going to deal with some of that shortly as well. So look back with me, please, at verse 5. 21 and 5, it says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. Amen. I want to speak today from the subject of behold, your king is coming. Somebody say, behold, my king is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to look here and we want to gain a perspective here of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming. This is his final entry again into Jerusalem, that he's going to give his life. It's already been set up from the beginning of time that Jesus Christ would do this. And the timing of this is if we understand scriptures, the timing of this is so miraculous because we can learn in the natural. We can learn what the law talks about or what we find in the old scripture, Old Testament. I've always taught you that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so what we see in the New Testament, we see some of it. We see it first in the Old, and we see the manifestation of it here within the New Testament here. And so the thing we want to see here, again, behold, your king is coming. We're going to look at several scriptures here. We're going to stay particularly here. And there's four things I want to get to you today. But before we get there, I want you to see something. And this is not... hold your place here. We're coming right back. Go with me to Exodus. I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 12. I'm going over that scripture that talks about they perfected praise. Amen. Them babies. Amen. Yes, sir. It's in here. It's in the Bible. Yes, sir. They went up in the, he went up in that temple, boy. And them babies, yes, sir, they started crying out. Hosanna to the highest. Exodus, are you at Exodus chapter 12? Yeah. Look at verse 3, please. We're going to be here for a little while. It says, now look what it says. So let's go to verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. You see that? This is the Passover in the Old Testament. And I want you to understand that at the Passover, on the 10th day of the Passover, they always identify the lamb. And the lamb would be slaughtered on the fourth day. That's the slam. The lamb would be provided. Let's look at this. Go on, look at here so we can get some understanding on this. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You should take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you should keep it until the 14th day. You hear that? The 14th day. Now, I want you to understand that the 10th day represents Palm Sunday. You hear what I'm saying? And then the 14th day, amen, is the time that the 10th day is the day in which Jesus Christ came on the donkey into Jerusalem. He was coming to be the Passover lamb. You hear what I'm saying? He was coming. This thing is so much time into it here. And so you see here that on the 10th day is when they identified it. And they say, get one that's without blemish. And we know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ without sin in his life. Amen. Now, it goes on to say here, it says verse 6, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the posts of the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasting fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs that they shall eat. This is what we call the Passover meal. A lot of people still participate in the Passover meal. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. Some call it a Seder supper. Maybe one year we'll gather everyone together and do a traditional Passover meal here in the house. Amen. Spread the table. Everybody sit down. And there's so much symbolism in every bit and everything that is partaken of doing that Passover meal. Verse 9, it says, eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the perturance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remain of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it what? In haste. It is the Lord's what? Passover. Now, we must understand this. We're not going to, you could read the rest of this in your own time. But we know what happened was we knew that Pharaoh said that he was going to kill the people. Did he not? Well, he wasn't going to let the people go. And one of the last plagues was that the firstborn of all of Israel would die. Do you understand that? The firstborn of all of Israel would die. And we know what they ended up doing. They ended up putting the blood on the doorpost. And this they were instructed that the children of Israel was instructed of that. He says, when you put the blood on the doorpost for this from this lamb that's without blemish, that when the death angel shall go over all of Jerusalem to kill all of the firstborn sons, amen. If you got that blood up there, he's gonna what? Pass on over. So this is where we get what the Passover, amen. And so they had to kill a lamb. But today, our Passover lamb is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And now because of his blood, he what? Passes over. When we do something that's not right, we hear amen. You thank God it's because of you. That's why we got to learn how to plead and call on the blood of the lamb. Amen. And because he's a Passover, amen. He's a Passover lamb. So we see in the Old Testament is certainly a type and a shadow of that which was going to come in the New Testament. So we see Jesus Christ coming now into Jerusalem. He's coming, amen. And they said, behold, thy king is coming, amen. Behold, thy king is coming, amen. And there's three or four things I want to show you here. Let's go back to the text of the scripture here. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 21, I want you to see several things. So the first thing I want you to see, that he came with meekness. Somebody say, Jesus came with meekness. Amen. So I want us to see this. Look at 21 verses 5 through 7. He came with meekness. Amen. You should see it up here on the screen. I'm trying to use these little PowerPoints here. Amen. There you go. He came with meekness. You see that? Amen. Praise God. How y'all like that picture there? Amen. That's back there at the palms. That's there at Jerusalem. Amen. They go to path. He's coming down there. Amen. Behold, your king is coming. I want us to see this, that Jesus came with meekness. Amen. So you see here in verse 5, it says, tell ye the daughter of Zion. Now, Zion represents the church. He says, tell ye the daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion is Jerusalem. He says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey and a colt and a foal of an ass. So behold, your king is coming. The first thing I want you to know that he came in meekness. And it's interesting because Jesus could have came in and he could have came with angels. He could have came any way he wanted to come, but he chose to take the low road. He chose to take the heart of a servant. Now think about this. What I like about Jesus Christ, he took a way where everybody can get in on it. What you're saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is, if he would have just came on a buff horse as a statesman or something like that coming up in there, then people would have only been able to recognize, unless I got that status, I can't recognize him as my king, amen. But he came humbly, amen. So you must understand that the animals, particularly in this season, in this time, if a king came to a city on a horse, it means he came to do war, amen. When he came to do war. But if he came on a donkey, he came in peace, amen. And the Bible says here that Jesus Christ, he came with meekness. Not only did he represent meekness, but the animal which he rode on was a meek animal. Amen. And meekness dealt with peace. He came and he was one that came with peace. Now, it's interesting here that he told them, he says, now, y'all go get the colt, go get the donkey. And if anybody asks you that I have about it, tell them that the Lord has need of him. Isn't it interesting? He didn't own anything, but he owned everything. Oh, my God. All he said, tell them that the Lord have need of them. In another text, the Lord told him to go get it. He says, for my time is at hand. My God, he knew that this whole thing was being set up, and the timing that he came into Jerusalem was no coincidence or accident, but it was the divine providence of God. And he just didn't come. He came in meek. He came upon this particular donkey, and we said that this donkey is an emblem of peace. He come as a redeemer and a restorer. He came into the church. He came into the daughter of Zion. He was coming into Jerusalem, but Zion is the church. The daughter of the church is Jerusalem. Somebody say Jerusalem. This is why the Bible tells us to pray for Jerusalem. to pray for Jerusalem. That's the daughter of Zion. Amen. Now, it's interesting here. He's riding into Jerusalem for his last time. He knows what's ahead of him. He's ready to partake of the cup. Amen. That's going to be before him, the cup of suffering. He's ready to go and to die on our behalf. So he came with meekness. He came to be a redeemer and to be a restorer. Look what it says in verse 5. Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey and a colt and the foal of a donkey. Now, also understand this. If you go, and you don't have to go here now, but Zechariah 9 and 9, Zechariah prophesied this very thing here, that the king would come, amen, and he would be riding upon a donkey. And so Zechariah prophesied this thing, and so we see prophecy now is coming to pass. This thing was declared years ago, and Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. He's fulfilling the things that were spoken, amen, from God through the prophet Zechariah here. Now, the second thing I want you to see, that not only did Jesus come with meekness, but he came with the multitudes. The second thing is he came with the multitudes. Somebody say, Jesus came with the multitudes. So not only did he come meek, he came with some people, man, I'm telling you. And what's interesting about this is the second point here. He came with the multitudes. And if you look here, pick up the scripture here in verse 8. It goes on to say, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. Verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. Look at verse 11. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee here. So we see here that not only did he come into Jerusalem meek, riding upon a donkey, but he came also with the multitudes. So we must understand, it says that people came before him, people were before him, and people were behind him. And they were coming, making some noise. You know what I'm saying? See, this was a triumph entry, an entry into Jerusalem, because the king is coming. Behold, your king is coming. Amen. And so they were declaring that the king, amen, of the church is coming. Now, what you must understand, in Jerusalem, they were looking for a king, one that was riding on a horse. They were looking for someone that was going fight their battles and defend them in warfare from a natural side. But no, a spiritual king was coming. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was riding in there. So not only did he come meek, he caught him off guard. He come riding upon. And the Bible says it was a mule that had never been ridden before. You hear what I'm saying? He got on there, man, I can see him riding now. I see him on the side of that thing, just riding on in there. Jesus taking it, being easy, meek and riding on up in there. And everybody shouting around, Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna to the highest. They're calling him the Son of David. And they're rejoicing and they're being glad about this. And so what you must understand, see, behold, your king is coming. Not only has he already come, but he's coming again. Oh my God. And we got to have the same DNA that he had. We got to be meek, amen. We got to be meek people. And not only do we have to be meek, there was a whole lot of multitudes coming with him. And we got to ask ourselves, how are we going to honor him when he comes back? Amen. Because how we living now is how we honor him. Amen. See, do you have an expectancy? Behold, your king is coming. Do we have an expectancy that he's coming back? We know that he went. Amen. This is what we're talking about. He gave his life, but is he coming back? I mean, I'm here to tell you, I'm here to declare and tell you that he's coming back. Amen. And the questions are going to be, which one of the multitudes are you going to be? Because there was a whole bunch of them. Now, think about these multitudes. The first group of people I seen the multitudes was his disciples. He says, now, y'all two go and go get the coat. You know, he said, go do that. And later on, we're going to find them saying, I need two of you to go and tell the guy to get the house ready, because we're going to have the Passover meal. See, his disciples, out of those multitudes, some of them was his disciples. You got to ask yourself, amen, are you going to be a disciple? You just hanging with the bunch. Amen. His disciples did exactly what he told them to do. Although they didn't want to see him die, they did exactly. And see, we're living in a time now, the way this world is, you got to do what he tell you to do. You got to line your life up with this word. Amen. I mean, we through for trying to do what we want to do. They sung it early. It's not about us. It's all about what? Jesus, amen. It's all about Jesus. People are leaving here too soon, too early, because they down with the wrong folks with the multitude, amen. So you got to find your place with the multitude. He came with the multitude. There was a whole lot of people shouting, amen. Now, this is what the Lord, he showed me something here. He said, son, now, he said, now they came with praise. Amen. They came with praise. But he showed me praise. What praise is? Praise is acknowledgement that you know him. Let me put it this way. Praise is acknowledgement that you know of him. That's praise. Of him. That I know him. I praise him. That's a knowledge. That's why the babies cried out in the temple, because they acknowledged who he was. You know what I'm saying? See, so these people are, they know that this is the King of the Jews. They know that this is Jesus. Amen. And so the multitudes are shouting. They Hosanna to the highest. They're shouting. Amen. And they're doing all of that. Amen. So there's praise going on. Somebody say praise.
Praise.
See, praise again is an acknowledgement of him. But worship deals with an acquaintance with him. There is a difference. There is a relationship. Amen. And so there was a lot of praise in the multitudes. But see, it's not the praise, but can you leave praise and enter into worship? See, because praise takes me from the acknowledgement of who he is into an acquaintance, and I got a relationship with him. That's why I can enter in. See, I done taught y'all a few weeks ago. Can everybody enter in? Everybody can praise him, because he said, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Everybody can praise him, but everybody ain't going to worship him. Yes, sir. Yeah. You need to know that. And so what we want to get as the people, we want to be of the multitudes, those that worship him, because those that worship him does what he tells them to do. Not even a question about it. He wants me to go get a donkey, I'm going to go get a donkey. He wants me to go get a room in a house, I'm going to get. Don't you think these guys went around saying, you got to be kidding me. He's going to go tell me to go ask a stranger for a mule. And that man going to just give me his mule? He said, no, when he asked you, just tell him that the Lord has need of him. And that's exactly what he said. The Lord had that brother. He cut that mule loose. He cut the place loose. See, y'all can't relate to this. It's like, I've shared this before. When I was a little kid with my granddaddy, he had all of us were assigned lawnmowers. I had a lawnmower. I didn't keep it at my house. He kept the lawnmower. All three of us had lawnmowers. All three of my brothers, all of us had lawnmowers. Every Saturday, when like this season getting right here, man, we get ready to roll. He my grandfather getting the lawnmower tightened up and everything. But what was interesting about it, if we had a problem with the lawnmower, he said, go down there to the hardware store and tell them off the hall that your granddaddy sent you. You mean? And he go down there, he said, like, tell him you need a quart of oil, amen. And I'd be like, what granddaddy talking about doing? And all I had to do was go down there one or two times, walk up in there. And I said, yeah, my grandfather sent me down here, Arthur Hall, and he want a quarter oil. He told me to get a quarter oil. That man moved so quick, gave me that quarter oil. I mean, I didn't have any money or anything. You know what I'm saying? But you see, amen, two things were going on. Number one, they knew Arthur Hall. Arthur Hall has some credibility. Amen. That name meant something. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, it was down. It meant something. And number two, I either had to resemble him or something was like me in him. Amen. But I went and asked him. That man went and got that oil so quick, man. And we would go. So anytime after that, anytime. But that first time, I'm thinking, what are you telling me to do? Go down here and ask this man for some oil. That man ain't going to give me at the time of day. Go in there. My dad used to do the same thing. Son, take the car over there and get some tires. Go tell Jimmy Preston over there, you need four tires. I walked right up in there, man, at the tire shop. I said, hey, my name is Eric White. I'm Jerry White's son. And he told me he need four tires. Man, they put that thing back there, throw me four tires on there, and I roll out of there. Amen. It's because my father has some clientele. Amen. He was respectable. His word was good. It's the same way with Jesus. Amen. When he told them boys to go over there and get that donkey, they went over there and said, look, he said, now if they ask you who need it, tell them that the Lord have need of it. Amen. It's the same way. It's even today. God is looking for some disciples out of the multitude. He's looking for some people to go do what he tell them to do. And look, you may feel like a fool going to do something, but when you go do it in his name, you'll never be a fool. You know what I'm saying? He's going to always back his word up. He got character, he got clientele, he got it all, he owns it all. You know what I'm saying? Every bit of him. And so we want to be like that. Who are we going to be in the multitudes? Amen. Are we just going to be people making a bunch of noise? Or are we going to just, we're going to do what he tells us to do? Now, there was another group that was out standing around there. It was called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees told Jesus, tell them to shut up. They're giving you all this praise. Tell them to shut up. I want you to look. You got to see this. Look over at Luke chapter 19. Hold your place here. We're coming back. Luke chapter 19. I'm not going to be before you long. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, amen, verse 35. I want you to see this because I want you to understand, you know, Jesus didn't need to praise, but your praise tell you that you at least acknowledge who he is. You know what I'm saying? You got to have some praise before you enter into worship here. Now, what I'm telling you, in the multitude, there were some folks in the multitudes. See, everybody don't like praise. some people won't go to worship, but there's other people that just don't like praise. Oh, they don't like you to be demonstrative. Amen. They don't like you to kick a leg over here and let something out. See, because praise is an outward thing. Amen. When people are in bondage and bound and religious, they don't like nobody praising now. Now, what you doing? What's going on here? What you all happy about? What you all joyous about? You keep your eye on me too long. I'm getting ready to bust into some worship on you. Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm praising right now, but praising just getting me ready to enter on into worship. Yes, sir. I'm getting ready. Look, yes, sir. I'm open. I'm out in the open right now, but I'm getting ready to go. Look, I'm getting ready to go step on you now. When I go into worship, and so some stuff getting ready to happen now, man. So look here. What I'm saying is, you got to understand. See, he came. When he came, he did not only come with meekness, but he came with some multitudes, George. Now look here. Are you at Luke chapter 19, verse 35? This is another account of the same story. It says, and they, 19 to 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus, they were talking about the donkey. Look at verse 36. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Now, a multitude, when you got a right heart, see, it's all about how do you honor him. See, all of them that recognized and acknowledged him was honoring them with their mouth. They were praising him. Hosanna, they were praising him. They were praising him. But then they took it to another level. There's one thing to worship him with your head, but then there's another thing to worship him with your heart. And then, so they took off the clothes. You got to understand, clothes are important. It's like laying out the red carpet. They took off the clothes, amen, and laid down the clothes because they were honoring the king that was riding on the donkey. You know what I'm saying? Not only that, some of them said, look, I'm going to snatch some stuff up out of the tree. They snatched some limbs, some palm branches, amen. They snatched up out of there, brother, and they laid them palm branches down, man. So this was a way to honor him. See, what we got to ask ourselves, how are we honoring our Lord? Behold, the king is coming. Not only have he came, but he's coming back. And the question is, see, in the way we honor him today, we give him our hearts. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And to love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is what the Lord thy God wants. This is how we honor him. So you got to ask yourself that we're all in the multitude, but where you at in the multitude? How are you going to honor the king that is coming back? Amen. Now, the last people I'm going to show you, you don't want to be like these people here. These are the Pharisees and the religious folk. Look how they are. It goes down in verse 37. And when he was come now, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, you hear that? The whole multitude of the disciples began to what? Rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all what? The mighty works that he has seen, that they have seen, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the what? Multitude said unto him, Master, look, you hear what they said? Master, a teacher. He says, rebuke thy disciples. He said, now some of the multitude that were there, they said, rebuke the disciples. Tell them to stop praising you. Tell them, look, what it was saying is, tell them to stop acknowledging you as king. Now, Jesus didn't need all the pomp and the circumstance. He knew who he was. But the reason why he did not deny them or tell them to shut up, because they had to take knowledge of who he was. You know what I'm saying? They had to do this. Now, look what it says here. It says, verse 40, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You hear that? This is where we get the scriptures. If we don't praise him, the rocks are going to cry out. This was when he coming in on Palm Sunday, riding on his donkey. And some of the multitude said, tell him to shut up. He said, now, if they hold their peace, the rocks, the stones are going to cry out. He said, they can't do it, man. They can't do it. They cannot do him. So the question is, he came with the multitudes. And the question is, the way we honor him is going to be where we find ourselves in the multitudes. Amen. Are you honoring him? Can you take off? Look, you know, he ain't asking you to take off no clothes. He's asking you for your heart today. Amen. Amen. What's the song? Give me you. Yeah. Everything else what can wait. You know what I'm saying? Is that where you're at in your life with Jesus? Everything else can wait. Give me you, Lord. And see, that's what they were saying when he was coming in. Give me you, Lord. I already seen you move with miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. I already seen you do your thing. Give me you, Lord. They were hollering, give me you. But there was some that was saying, tell them to shut up. And Jesus Christ said, look, if they shut their mouth, I'm telling you, they can't do it. The stones are going to cry out in their place. So God wants us to praise him, not just to praise him, but also to have a giving of our hearts. These people were not only praising him, but they were taking their clothes off the back. The disciples took their clothes off and laid it on top of the donkey and the colt. Other people took their clothes off. It was a signature of the giving. It was a heartfelt love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see Jesus came with meekness. Jesus came with the multitudes. The third thing here we see, I want you to look at Matthew 21 and 10. Turn back over to the text, Matthew 21 and 10. And that text in Luke's went on to say that when Jesus entered the city, he cried over Jerusalem. Because it was telling, it says, they were telling the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming. And they didn't even recognize who he was. Brother, y'all don't want that. I know I don't want that to happen. When he comes back, I don't even know who he is. But the Bible says we're going to see him for who he is. We're going to look just like him if we're his children, if we're his two children. The third thing I want you to see, when Jesus came, all the city was moved. You see that? Look at 21 and 10. Matthew 21 and verse 10. The third thing, it says, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, somebody say all the city. All the city was moved, saying what? Who is this? Now, this is saying that everyone took notice of him. Now, there was a party going on. Come on now. There were some behind him, in front of him. He was riding on a donkey. Everybody was just praising him, laying their garments down, and he's coming slowly, taking his time. Amen. Yeah. Taking his time. Knowing that he's coming in on the right. He's coming in on the 10th day. This was the 10th day, according to the Jews. He was on the 10th day. He's showing right up on time. That's the day that you identify the sheep. Getting ready for Passover. In 4 days, he's going to die. Amen. He's going to be offered up. Amen. As the Passover lamb. He was right on time, taking his time, right on time. And they were worshiping him. And they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the high. They're worshiping him the whole time. And the Bible says that when he came, the whole city was moved. The whole city was moved. The Bible says that when the righteous are in charge, the city rejoices. When the righteous are in charge, the city rejoices. And I'm here to tell you, church, we see here that everyone took notice of him. They were moved. See, this is the thing. Listen what they said, though. Who is this? This is why you got to understand where you at in the multitudes. See, he came with the multitudes, but when you're coming, look. When he's coming back, you got to know where you're at in the multitude. Amen. Are you a disciple? Or are you just hanging out with the crowd? Are you, amen, the Pharisees? Where are we at? And our life and our lifestyle would tell us where we're at with Jesus. And the last thing we want to do is be standing around, amen, and he cracks that eastern sky because he's coming back. And when he comes back, we don't want to be saying, who is this? Amen. Now, let me tell you what the multitude said. Verse 11, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, what? The prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, it's interesting they call him the prophet, the foreteller. Amen. The prophet, the one that points us, that guides us. He said, this is the prophet. Amen. This is the Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet, the one that's guiding us in the way, riding in meek, amen, on this particular mule here, coming in here. Now, it's interesting here. People were moved in many different ways. I believe some people were joyful. That was the people that was with them. I think some people were saying, well, they were moved with a wonder. Others laughing. What in the world is this? Come on, give me a break. This guy here riding on a donkey, looking red. Crazy. Amen. See, people were at different places. Who is this? And this is what the world is saying now. Who is this? And we got to be able to say that he is Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Of Nazareth. No, this is how he asks Peter, the disciples. He says, who do men say that I am? Yeah. Who do men say that I am? And then he asked Peter, he looked at Peter, he says, now, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is what we got to be able, we got to be able to give an answer. We got to be able to give an answer when folks asking, who is this? Who are they talking about? Amen. We must be able to give that answer of who he is. The Bible says Jesus came in all the city and it was moved. It was moved. I'm telling you, that whole city was shaking and moving, wondering who this was that was coming in. Now, as I close here, I want you to look at some things here, because what I like about Jesus Christ, when he come into the city, the first place he went was the temple. Amen. When Jesus comes to our life, he sets up residence in the temple. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus comes into our city, he going to come into the temple. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, my God. When he comes into our life, amen, he coming to set up in your heart, on the throne of your heart. He wants to be declared. He wants to be Lord of your life. So he comes straight up in the temple. Now, it's interesting here. We see him now. He come up in the temple. Now, when he came with meekness. Yeah. Did he not? He came with multitudes. Yeah. He came and moved the whole city. Yeah. But now he said, I got to take inventory of the temple. Yeah. See, I've always learned this in the natural here. See, anything that you expect, you got to inspect. let me just break it down to your house. If you expect your kids to clean up their room or to clean up their house, if you don't ever bust a move in that room and then expect it, inspect what's going on in there, you can't expect it. You see what I'm saying? So you got to inspect what you expect. So you got to go look at it. Amen. You got to make sure if it ain't tight. Amen. If it ain't right, you got to peek in there. Hey, boy, you ain't made that bed up. You know what I mean? And if they know you're going to inspect it on a regular basis, amen, they're going to have some expectation they got to clean up. But if you don't inspect it, you can't expect it. You hear what I'm saying? That's why any good company going to do audits. They do an audit on you. It's an inspection because they have an expectation, amen, an expectation. And if you don't line up with that audit, you get what they call a corrective action. Do you not? Okay, yeah, all right. This is the same thing that Jesus does. He enters into the temple. And the Bible said the first thing he did, man, he dealt with those folks that were selling those doves, those money changers. Say he turned over the, oh, okay, y'all need to see this in the scripture here, right? I'm telling you, amen. Where you at? Look at verse 12, okay? We're going to end right down here. I want you to see this, amen. I want you to see these things. He enters the temple, Brother Mike. He enters the temple, brother. Amen. So I want you to see these things here. All these things here take place that when he enters the temple here. All right. Jesus enters the temple. All right. First of all, he has an expectation that it's going to be a house of prayer. Somebody say house of prayer. He also expects it's going to be a house of teaching. Somebody say house of teaching. A house of healing and a house of praise. See, it can't be a house of worship until it's a house of praise. You know what I'm saying? Because praise is saying that they acknowledge him. Amen. That we have a knowledgement of him. And if you can acknowledge him and you're praying and there's teaching going on, amen. You know what I'm saying? This praise will turn into worship. You know what I'm saying? But they got to be ordered in the house. So check this out. So they call him a prophet. But when he steps into your house, he becomes an apostle. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. See, because we said the apostle is the one that governs. He sets things in order and also in place. So Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem. Amen. See, this is the last week of his ministry. You know what I'm saying? The last week of doing ministry. Jesus shows up meek. Amen. But when he steps off into the house of the Lord. Amen. He come in bold like a lion. You know what I'm saying? He comes and see what you're saying, Pastor. He comes into our lives to help us get right. This is why Jesus come in. He don't come in to be your pet rock, your security blanket. No. He don't come now. He come in to be Lord of your life. He comes to get your life right. Somebody say, I need my life right. I know. Okay. I know. I might be talking to some other folks. Look. My life need to get right every day. Every day. So Jesus comes into your life to help you to get it right. Because you know what? You can't get it right in and of your own self. And so he comes in to be the Passover lamb. He comes to die for us. He comes to say, now receive me. You have not only life, but I give you eternal life and everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah. He gives me life. So let's look here at the scripture. He says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that did what? Sold doves. So you see, he came in as an apostle. He came to set things in order, in the right order, and also in the right place. He says, so we got to cast this out. See, it was about priority. Amen. So he gets in here. He deals with priority, proper order. Anything that's fine. Look what he says in verse 13. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. But you have made it what? So when Jesus enters into our lives, the first thing he wants to see is your house, a house of prayer. See, he already knows there are going to be some den of thieves already in set up camp. Because the Bible says that the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So if you ain't have Jesus in your life, behold, your king is coming. You know what I'm saying? And when he comes, he steps off into the house. He steps off into our hearts. And he inspects, is the house right? He's going to put everything in proper order and in proper place. And he already know, if you don't know him, he already know the devil done set up camp. That's why he said, I'm casting out. See, the devil always get cast out. So anywhere you see casting going on, the devil is somewhere around. You know what I'm saying? He coming to steal. He cast them out. He said, I'm going to cast y'all out. Then he put it in order. See, I always told you, I said this to you last week. See, most of us can't handle correction. We don't handle, I don't know about you, I don't handle correction too good. See, because my correction comes without instruction. She said, see, when somebody correct me, give me some instruction in righteousness. This is what our kids be asking her. Well, you need to do this, that, and that. You just get it. They would say, well, instruct me in righteousness. Just don't tell me what I'm doing wrong, but tell me how to do it right. Amen. Oh, my God. Amen. You ever got on one of those and you just riding that kid? You just riding along. You just riding them. You seeing everything they doing wrong. But they want to instruct them in righteousness. This is why most of us don't handle correction right. See, but he corrected them, and then he gave them some instruction in righteousness. He said, y'all made my house a den of thieves, but my house should be called what? A house of prayer. I've always told the house here, if you're not a house of prayer, you're a den of thieves. What you saying, Pat? What I'm saying, if you're not a person of prayer, you got a whole bunch of den of thieves living in your life. Oh, my God. and because he loves us, he coming in to inspect. He coming to see what's in there. See, because when them thieves get in there, there's not much you can do. But call on the name of Jesus. And he comes in, he casts them out. Amen. And he said, this house right here should be a house of prayer. But he says, but you have made it into a den of thieves. So when Jesus entered the temple, say house of prayer. He is inspecting that it's a house of prayer. So let's get back to the natural application of it. He wants this church to be a church of what? prayer. Because if we're not a church of prayer, it's going to be a church full of a den of thieves. Oh, my God. I'll leave it alone. Amen. Okay. Okay. Let's look at the second thing in verse 14. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Now, I got to believe that the blind and the lame were in there all the time. They ain't just showed up. Do you see how the house was out of order? And so he is the apostle. He comes to put things in the right order in the right place. He said, now, if there's going to be some prayer going on, there's certainly going to be some healing in the house. He says, the lame, look what it says here. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And he did what? He healed him. So he desires his house to be a house of what? A house of healing. Now, Pastor, why you skip that house of teaching? I didn't see that in the scripture. You go over to Luke, back over to Luke, not today. Go back over to Luke in your own time, where we were reading earlier. Luke 19 over there. The Bible says that he came up in there after he made this a house of prayer. The Bible says he taught daily in the temple. My God, he's talking about a house of teaching. Amen. It's a house of teaching. See, the question I'm asking today is what kind of house is he going to find when he come back? Woo, that's what we got to ask ourselves. Is he going to find a house of prayer? A house of teaching? A house of healing. Is he going to find a house of praise? What you talking about praise? Look, it goes on here to say, verse 15. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things, here goes some of these more multitudes, that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased. Now, listen to what he said here. The little children even knew who Jesus was. You know what I'm saying? Jesus in there, man, in the temple teaching. He in there casting out things that are not supposed to be in there. He said, my house should be a house of prayer. He teaching in there daily. He healing folk. And when he get over there to the babies just started praising him. They started. Then he says, have you not read? He told these boy, y'all ain't read the book. Have y'all not read? That is through the babes that he has perfected praise. See what he's saying? The babies. See, this is, I always tell you, this is when you know you got the stuff that stick. When you go around children and they don't want to be around you, something wrong. Yeah. What were you saying, Pastor? The children always ran to Jesus. Jesus was meek and kind. One of your litmus tests is with the kid. Look, that's what I'm telling you, that's one of my litmus tests as a preacher. Can I walk around here and if I walk into the children, they all exit and run? Something wrong with my spirit. You know what I'm saying? You can tell if you got a bad or a wrong spirit. They ain't want nothing to do with you. But the Bible says that them babies cried out. They acknowledged, you hear what I'm saying? They acknowledged that Jesus was in the house. And them scribes, and I'm telling them Sadducees, see, they sad, you see. The Sadducees are sad. Some sad folks, sad multitudes. And Jesus is not, he coming back looking for a church without spot or without wrinkle. He coming back looking for a church that I believe is shouting. See, just as the king came in, amen, on Jerusalem that day, when he come back here, he ain't looking. We ain't going to be hiding in no mountain. We ain't going to be hiding like the disciples was locked up in the room. No, we going to be praising him. I believe we're going to go out with a shout. I believe we're going to be cutting up, having an expectancy that our king is soon coming. And this is why he wants to see this when he comes to the house. Because when he comes back, he's coming through the east gate and he's going straight to the temple. You know what I'm saying? When he comes back, he's coming straight back to the temple. He's coming straight back to the temple. The question is of the day is how are we going to honor him? Behold, thy king is coming. Where are we going to be at? Are we going to be the disciples? Are we just going to be one of the multitude, are we going to be the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes? Where are we going to be at? Behold, your king is coming. He done come one time, but he's coming again. And I believe, brother, I want to be like them disciples. I'm going to be doing what he tell me to do. I'm going to have a praise in my step and a worship in my heart. You hear what I'm saying? That's where I'm going to be at when he comes back. And I'm going to be singing, give me more. Give me more. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up till I can't take any more. I declare unto you, this Palm Sunday, as we go into Holy Week, find out where you're at with the Lord. Amen. Take some time this week, amen, and open up the scriptures and read and see about your King. Amen. See what he done for us. Amen. Done for you particularly. Amen. And I believe, amen, by next Sunday when you come back for Resurrection Sunday, you're coming in not looking for somebody to warm you up. You're coming through the door with praise. You're coming in the house, amen, giving him praise. No matter what it looked like, no matter what's going on around you, I'm coming to the house of prayer. I'm coming to a house of teaching and a house of healing and a house of praise. Amen. You should never come to church and leave sad. Not in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise and worship you. Come on up. We're going to sing us a song before we get out of here. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Then y'all had something, didn't you? All right. Y'all got something. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you could close your Bible, stand to your feet. Amen. Behold, thy King is coming. Hallelujah.